down.
Holding it down and fighting the power. It's power. Breakdown FM.
Radio.
West Side Eye.
With the meaning.
West Coast.
Is more critical for freedom and justice. The evils amongst us, we're being led by weak politicians trying to satisfy their own ambitions. So much garbage by whack musicians and brainwashed tactics through the television. What does it take for our people to listen while black and brown men are still filling the prisons? We're more concerned about rims that keep spinning, the media outlets disrespecting all women. Whatever happened to the fight for progress? We need more doctors, we need more lawyers. We need the streets to unite the masses so the young don't get shot on their way to their classes. Peace. Cause that's just what we need. We've got wars being waged from our neighborhood streets to occupied regions way overseas, where kids carry weapons but have nothing to eat. We're being plagued by ghetto mentality, as illusion and fantasy are seen as reality, and glorification of crime and poverty are valued much higher than education and family. Don't get it wrong, I ain't trying to preach, but I'd rather have a message with my freedom of speech. And even that nowadays ain't granted, as speaking the truth can get your act branded as a terrorist or just a plain threat to the image of a government that ain't woke up yet. And if you're sleeping, you best check the time. You gotta stand for what's right and lay it all on the line. Peace. Peoples and fam, LD and Zulu, together we stand. We bring it live to every woman and man. And if you're down for true and living, let me see your hands. It's about time for redirecting the game, as once reliable talents are all about fame. The question remains, who's to blame for ignorant messages controlling the brains of all youth locked down and stranded in poor situations and can't understand it? Black and brown, yo, it's all the same. Impoverished people for capital gains. The struggle remains, we can't deny that, but it's a struggle that gives us the strength to fight back. Now take that, rewind and recite that. Might be gone for a minute, best believe I'll be right back. Peace.
Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon. We had to kick things off with a song named Peace. And standing in front of me is the author, the artist who did that song. He's from San Jose, California. He goes by the name of Apocalypse. And I'll let you spell the name, because you didn't spell it you spelled it the easy way, man.
The easy way.
But he's here in the house with me, man. What's your name? Well, Apocalypse, first of all, we know your name, but how do you spell it?
A-P-A-K-A-L-I-P-S, the mighty Apocalypse.
You gotta love hip-hop, man. You know, like, before we get in the interview, but I was just thinking, as you spelled your name, that now you're gonna have little kids when they go to school, and they go, well, talk about the Apocalypse, and they're gonna spell it your name the way that I spell exhibit, the E to the Z, you know, what, the X to the Z.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my editor at the newspaper says, son, you know, when was there a Z in exhibit? You know, and I thought about it, and then I realized I don't know how to spell exhibit because I'm so used to the hip-hop spelling.
Right, right. Well, you know, that's what we transcend in all lines, you know what I'm saying? That's how we know that hip-hop has come full circle. You know, we take things the way that it's been given to us, and then we mess it around, turn it around, and make it our language.
And people understand it.
That's right. It has the same meaning.
There you go. So anyway, man, let's give a little bit of background about yourself. You've been on the scene for a minute, but people are just really starting to know you, you know, nationwide. But you're a fixture here in the Bay Area. Give a little bit of background.
Originally, I come from Southern California, Central Coast area, Lompoc, Lancaster. Moved up to San Jose back in 2000. Got down with pretty much just the local scene, the MCs, the underground scene there in San Jose, about 2001. 2001, about October, a partner of mine, another MC that I got down with, Mid-One, we started this thing called Lyrical Discipline at this one coffee shop that still exists called Cafecito Iguanas. It's on 3rd Street, downtown San Jose. And we pretty much just opened up a whole avenue for MCs to come through and just be able to have our own spot and have our own night and just freestyle like 3 hours out of every other Friday night. And that's pretty much where I got the start. Got down with Zulu Nation that next year, 2002, and then just pretty much started progressing the MC, the underground MC. I shouldn't say underground MC because that was already in existence before I even got there, but a new wave, a new generation of MCs to come into San Jose scene from about 2001 to now. And so, you know, for the last 7 years, just been steady on the grind with the promoting of the open mic, the LD nights, the freestyle nights, doing events, panels, which we've had you featured on, doing MC battles, hip-hop shows, our anniversary shows, hosting a plethora of MC and B-boy battles, events. I was part of a group called Tributaries back in 2004. We dropped an EP, gave you copies of that. You gave it run, so much love to you for that. And so for the last 2.5 years, I was just really concentrating on my solo project. Put that out in November of 2007, so it's been out for a few months, you know, and 2 years in the making for that. And so for the last 7 years, I've been deeply involved with just about anybody and everybody who is San Jose's hip-hop, and not just, you know, restricting myself to San Jose, but like you said, Bay Area-wide, you know, East Bay and San Francisco, you know, branching out with different Zulus across the state, and just keeping myself active and just making sure that my name gets out there as an artist, but also making sure that my efforts for hip-hop are understood and they're felt.
You know, when you talk about doing the freestyle stuff and, you know, lyrical discipline, doing these nights and basically creating space for these MCs, I can't help but think of the people who preceded you all. And I want to know if you built off that. You know, here in the Bay, of course, we have Living Legends. And, you know, in their infamous, you know, 4001, you know, I guess it was Jackson Street that they used to do their shows at. And then, of course, we had the Upper Room and, you know, of course, the Wake Up Show, you know, with Sway and King Tech, you know, Kevy Kev and KZSU. You know, so there's always been these enclaves where the art of freestyling has been, you know, honed and perfected here in the Bay. And then, of course, when we go down to Southern Cali, where you're from, you know, we got to look at, you know, Project Blowed and, of course, The Good Life. And so are you building off of those traditions, or are you from the generation that kind of came afterwards and just kind of rediscovered these things for yourselves?
Well, I don't want to say that we've taken anything, because I came from that generation, you know what I'm saying? I came from that generation where those artists that were part of the entities that you just mentioned were out, you know what I'm saying? So I grew up listening to cats like that. And so it was just natural to progress that same vibe and to progress the same movement and actions in which they were doing, because once it's inside of you, you can't help but to do it yourself, you know? And so we weren't necessarily trying to model ourselves after anybody. A lot of people have compared our show, the LD show, to The Good Life and to Project Blowed, and say, oh, well, this is like the Bay Area or San Jose's version of it. And we don't really want to see it like that. You know, this is our own project that we've created. Is it similar? Yeah, by all means, is very similar, but by no stretch of the imagination.
Was it influenced, though?
It was deeply influenced, like I said. Oh. It was deeply influenced because that's who we are. That's what we came out of, you know what I'm saying? When I was a teenager, like you mentioned, Wake Up Show, listening to Sway and Tech every Saturday night for like 3 years, you know what I'm saying? And hearing the MCs that would come through and just drop freestyles, and it's that motivation, it's that influence. And so when I had the opportunity with my partner to actually do something and collectively with other cats to motivate ourselves and to keep it going and make something new, we just did it.
Well, the reason why I asked that is, primarily, when you have people that, when you're influenced by something, the question is, you know, what gets added to, you know, the the tried and true formula that preceded it, you know, and, you know, when I mention these entities, each one of them have always taken it up a notch. And so with the stuff that you guys are doing, how did you, you know, what did you add to it that really brings it up to another level?
Well, I think one of the things is just our own creativity, our own unique styles, and just our personality and who we are. You know, we each contribute to what's taking place. In San Jose, previous to us, there was another show that was very much part of the underground scene that was held at the Cactus Club before it was shut down, you know. And so we just take an extension of those predecessors that came before us and lay down the groundwork, the foundation. And who's to say that in 5 or 10 years there won't be another one like us? Right now, you know, there's other open mics and freestyle shows that take place. And so it's not so much whether, you know, what have you taken or, you know, what have you created for yourself, but it's what have you created for other people? You know, so to answer your question in another way, it's pretty much like this. We've added to something that has already been there. We've made it our own, not just from who we are, but creating a space for what we can do with what we can do. You know, we had to take a different avenue. We didn't have, you know, the opportunity to do it at a bigger venue, so we had to make space with what we had. And so I feel as if, you know, we've done a rather good job of taking that space and creating it for ourselves.
Okay. We've been talking with Apocalypse. We'll be right back.
You're checking out Breakdown FM, where we break down news, views, and the hip-hop movement.
They ask where you from, what you tell them, what you tell them, what you tell them. Cali CA, Cali CA, Cali CA, what West Coast. When they ask where you from, what you tell them, what you tell them, what you tell them. Cali CA, Cali CA, Cali CA, what West Coast.
Live and direct from the great landscape, CA all day, West Coast, Golden State. Hella styles, hella rhymes, hella type, hella the freshest MCs to ever grab a damn mic. That's right, y'all, we came to do the damn thing. Recognize the hustle, flex vocal muscle, tussle with the illest, you get laid down flat. LA up to the Bay, nobody messing with that. Some brothers build, some get stagnated, and others lack the motivation, getting frustrated. The legacy, some help create it, understood by few while many others try to hate it. Hey, enough respect to the whole SoCal, SD to SB, LA to the Central Coast. Mad love to Lompoc, the 805 keeps it live, yo, that's all she wrote.
When they ask where you from, what you tell them, what you tell them, what you tell them. Cali CA, Cali CA, Cali CA, what West Coast. When they ask where you from, what you tell them, what you tell them, what you tell them. Cali CA, Cali CA, Cali CA, what West Coast.
CA, turn back the damn clock to when the Panthers organize and control the block. Oh, community action at its finest, power to the people, treat all as equals. Can't forget about the Brown Berets for holding it down since 1968. Chicano legacy, never slowing up, keeping it moving, justice keep pursuing. CA, home to hella corrupt cops, where gangsters and drug dealers controlling the block. It stays hot like weather in summer months, where lolos and scrapers cruise with the slump. And barbecues are almost guaranteed, where the smell of good food gets blended with weed. and liquor bleeds into the bodies of many. Where good weather, fly brothers and sisters are plenty.
When they ask where you from, what you tell them? What you tell them? What you tell them? Cali CA, Cali CA, Cali CA. What West Coast? When they ask where you from, what you tell them? What you tell them? What you tell them? Cali CA, Cali CA, Cali CA. What West Coast?
CA, home to some of the greatest, reppin' it for the culture, creating and motivating. Popping and locking, ticking and robotting, waving, tutting and strutting, can't forget the boogaloo. Scratching and cutting, blending and quick mixing, ciphers getting rocked, live shows just for you. Throw ups and tagging, burners and large productions. CA's a canvas, utilize its functions. The West Coast, home to many pioneers who stimulate your senses, eyes and ears. Respect the legacy, you're better stand clear. Cali gonna rock the spot for the next 100 years.
When they ask where you from, what you tell them? What you tell them? What you tell them? Cali CA, Cali CA, Cali CA. What West Coast? When they ask where you from, what you tell them? What you tell them? What you tell them? Cali CA, Cali CA, Cali CA. What West Coast?
There we are, man. We had to play this song off your album. What is it, West Coastin'?
Called Cali CA, West Coastin'.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that song. What was that? What inspired that? I mean, you guys, you covered a lot of ground in it. You talked about the B-boying, the MCs. You gave a history of the dance. And then you also even talked about the Brown Berets. You went cultural, both on the hip-hop and political tip.
Yeah, Cali CA, West Coastin' was produced by my man Peak. Shouts out to him. When I first heard it, we kind of had a different objective on the direction that we wanted to go with it, but we knew that it wanted to be something that people could relate to. And so in writing the song, I really wanted to have the concept of California and where we're from and being proud of where we're from and being able to talk about it and have a conversation through the music in a different way than other people have before. And it was very important for me to not only add, you know, the hip-hop influence, you know, like you mentioned, between the b-boying and the popping and the locking and the strutting and the robotting, the boogalooing, but also to add, you know, the cultural elements. You know, when people think of California, they automatically think of, you know, gangsters and lowriders and, you know, up in the Bay you got, you know, Turfin, and you got all kinds of things that are native to each region. And so I really wanted to highlight that, being the fact that, you know, I did live in Southern California and now I'm up here in the Bay Area. I kind of have, like, dual philosophies on how the state looks and our culture and, you know, base it on every region. And so I just really wanted to hit on that, including the Brown Berets and including the Black Panthers in the song. That was very important to me because culturally, politically, socially, that's who we are, you know. Being someone of color, it's very important to mention that because we don't hear about it, you know, in our textbooks as much as we should. You know, being a teacher, I know for a fact that the educational system doesn't really hone in on those items and really try to push to the kids, like, yo, this is who you are. Not only that, but this is our state's history. It's kind of like pushed to the side. So it's very important for me to include that in there.
You know, what, I mean, that's definitely true. I thought that was important. But I think equally important was the fact that you included West Coast roots and the fact that it goes out. And in many cases, especially when you talk about the dance, it proceeds and it goes alongside of New York's history. You know, a lot of times people think that, well, New York just did this thing and that was that. But they keep forgetting that, as you mentioned, these dance moves and these dance styles were in existence and had nothing to do with New York. That, you know, cats in the hood are always creating themselves.
Exactly.
Now it's morphed in with hip-hop, and we associate the strutting and roboting and all that as part. But maybe you can build on that.
Yeah, I mean, including that, like you said, you know, folks think, well, New York started everything, and that's not the case. You know, people can say, well, you know, this move came from here, this move came from there, and this move came from this person and that person. But the fact of the matter is that you had a duality. You had New York and other regions along the East Coast that were doing things, but folks on the West Coast were doing the exact same thing at the same time, you know. And it's not so much a part of the hip-hop, quote-unquote hip-hop culture. It's the fact that, like you said, people make space. People create out of what we have. And so part of the movement you know, the strutting and the roboting. That was more than just, you know, the dance. That was people. That was people's communication. That was the way people communicated. Not to mention, that was the way that up here in the Bay Area, when you had the Black Panthers, you also had the Black Resurgence. You know, and so when they were
Black Resurgence is a pioneering group that goes all the way back to the 60s.
There you go. And so, you know, when they coming out popping and strutting and doing their dance, you automatically know that they're communicating to you. They're like, yo, y'all need to listen up. You know, you got the movement going on, but you got this, and we're gonna bring you into the movement.
You know, speak a little bit about that, you know, about this communication, because being in Southern Cali, which is home to a lot of the gangs, Crips and Bloods, which are now all over in the SAs, the various factions with the NAP, you know, there are these dances, there are these very distinct dances that these gangs have that were forbidden to be done, but they communicate messages to people. Can you talk a little bit about that? You know, and how that relates to the hip-hop dances that we see now, because, I see the crumping and I see the clowning, and definitely people who are into that watch these moves and come away with some information that others are like, well, that was a cute move.
Mm-hmm. I mean, by no way am I going to try to sit here and be an expert and try to tell people, you know, what things are. You know, that's, I'm just adding my opinion and my views, but when you have these communication techniques, especially with the art, you know what I'm saying, the entertainment, as people see it, it's just entertainment. But to us, it is the way we communicate, whether it's dance or emceeing or graffiti, you know, it's the way we communicate. We writing stuff on the walls to send a message to somebody like, yo, don't come over here, or I've been here. You know, as an MC, we communicate to each other either just, you know, trying to spit rhymes or trying to actually have substance in our music. And so with the dance, it's the same thing. You know, there's a way that gangs can communicate with each other, you know, tribally and culturally. You know, being of Mexican descent, my Aztec ancestors and my African ancestors, they all had ways of communicating through their dance. It meant something. Whereas today, you have so many styles of dance. As you can see, you can go to VH1 or MTV and there's a dance contest happening. You know, people can appreciate a move, but the minute they see something that's spectacular, it's like, oh, wow, where did they pick that up from? Oh, I've seen that on a video. I've seen Snoop Dogg doing that, so that must mean something, and it's popular. But once it gets to that level, it no longer has the communication aspect of it. Now it's just art. And so when you really look at the way we communicate with each other culturally, not just hip-hop, but culturally, we understand that with these ways of communication, somewhere down the line, it's going to be redefined and it's going to be interpreted in a different way, and it's going to lose its meaning. You know, it's going to lose its meaning somewhere down the way. You know, it's like trying to pass on a message to the first person, and by the 50th person, it's no longer the same message.
Unless we get people like you to bring that message back.
And there's a lot of people like myself, you know. By no way am I trying to say I'm the only one out here, because that's for sure not the case. You know, but you could ask so many people out here, and, you know, and we all have our different opinions and different views, which make things beautiful, but that's the way I see it.
Right. Let's pull a song off your album. First of all, what's the name of this album?
The album is called The Other Side.
Okay, and, you know, we played West Coast and we played Peace. Pull a song off here that you like.
To be honest with you, man, I really like a lot of the songs. There's 14 tracks on the album. I love all 14. Do I love some more than others? Of course I do.
Well, pick one that you love more than others. Go ahead, man. You're the DJ right now.
I love the song Rugged. I also love the song 35,000 Feet. The song 35,000 Feet, it has a production by my man Overflow. He's on a verse on there, along with my man D. He's on a verse on there, so it's the three of us. And the song 35,000 Feet is just really us kind of just taking a really gritty, grimy beat and just knocking it out, you know, just showing our skills as MCs. Not too much content, but at the same time, with each of our verses, we giving you how we communicate through our MC skills.
Okay, well, we'll be right back. We've been talking with Apocalypse here at the Overflow.
Yes, yes, y'all. Apocalypse, y'all. Overflow, y'all. Let's be that rugged ish. That rugged ish. Let's be that rugged ish. Yo, rip that, flip that, spit that, kill that. Take it to the stage, man, watch how I wreck that. The beats pound with the force of Goliath. Marching through the streets with an army right beside us.
The streets is ill, but the mind stays iller. Living for the now, it don't get no realer. Brain heavy, no filler. Your heads ain't ready for that punch I deliver. 5'8", just a buck 75. Yet one of the illest to ever rock a show live. Rhyme pattering, brain splattering, all over the joint. Yo, this brother's on point. We mashing out on some MOP status. Any up sucker, your career's getting vanished. Apocalypse, I know I got you open. Head notch, ish, make your neck stay broken. Ain't no escaping, make no mistake. A penny for your thoughts, but it's your mind I take. Ice cold, just like the Great Lakes. Shaking and shivering as the physical breaks. The mic remains in the depths of the clutches. Treacherous rhyme spray soon as a hand touches. Your only option, begin to pull back as the sucker's getting dropped from the verbal attack. Huh.
Super divine, it's my mind and rhyme. Intertwined with the blue line and then I shine. Visual like a shroom trip when I hit you with the boom bip. Yo, I move you with the music. Never abuse it, tight just like a noose fit. You're where that old groove is, just check the playlist. Yo, my crew's on the guest list. B-boys the best kids, the rappers in the house about to test this. So put your ego in your back pocket with your wallet. I'm about to call it and smack rappers that get all G'd up. Like a big dog but really small pups. What's really going on inside the song? I ain't putting Satan over beast. Ignorance in the streets, that's not the way my mama made me. And when I spit on the mic, it's all gravy. Believe me and turn off your TV, cause it's just rising you. I grab the mic and holler 1-2. Everything I spit is classic. Most of these dudes melt underneath they plastic. Back in the day, they would've spit and got they tag kicked. I make my beat straight up with no chases. Elevate the crowd and leave them with the neck braces. And understand this, respect is demanded. Overflow in apocalypse, the new rap language.
Call me the voice of the SJ. Don't need to be called the king to know I run the South Bay. Call it conceited or too damn cocky, but show me another MC who can outrock me. Roll with the illest and by far the most gifted. It just ain't high enough, prepared to get lifted. We put the MC in the MCing. Blind to the facts, man, you just ain't seeing. Open your eyes up, take off your stunners. This be the Wild West, y'all call us Young Gunners. Excellence throughout the craft, stay committed. Target practice, spot the bullseye, hit it. 10 for 10, better yet, the score's perfect. Drop a dime on it, guarantee the kid's worth it. Your style is worthless, need to stop rapping. Call yourself an OG, well tell me what happened. So many cats in the game stay frontin', and half of you rappers ain't really talking about nothing. Steady sweating, but don't know how to build. No surprise you make a music cat nobody feel. Really real or you really just weak? Your rhymes are the prime example why you shouldn't speak. Now take notes, pay attention, keep it moving. Step into the mic, apocalypse show improving.
David D back here with you. We're hanging out with my man Apocalypse, listening to songs off his album The Other Side. San Jose is the place where he roams, Bay Area, but he's originally from Southern Cal. You know, one of the things that you had mentioned before we went into the song is your background, being Mexican. And, you know, I was recently talking with Omar Cruz, artist down in L.A., and he said it's real important that Latino MCs in particular step it up, and that a lot of times, you know, for a group of people that are so large in numbers, and I've been with hip-hop from the very beginning, when it comes to certain aspects, and particularly I'm seeing, sometimes it's forgotten. You know, we have a Big Pun, we have a Cypress Hill, but he felt like, you know, it's not fully appreciated, and he wanted to, you know, be a part of the movement to step it up. And then I'm listening to your album, and, you know, it seems like you're definitely doing that. But can you speak on it in particular? And we know, you know, in New York, there's definitely the whole Puerto Rican influence and involvement and foundation of hip-hop. But on the West Coast, it's a little bit different, you know, and maybe you could talk about the, you know, the whole situation with Mexicans, in particular Chicanos, their contributions to this movement, and how, you know, and how culturally you all are vibing with things.
I think culturally, looking at it in a way where, you know, Chicanos, we've always been part of the scene. Like, we've always been here. I think if you want to break down the ways that we've been here, just the fact that there's so many of us on the West Coast, especially in California, we've been here since jump. You know,
this, what's the old saying? You didn't cross the border, exactly, the border crossed
exactly,
you.
Exactly, exactly. The border crossed us. You know, this nation is half of what once was Mexico, you know.
Aslan.
Exactly, and prior to Mexico being Mexico. And so we've always been here. I think when you break down the different elements of hip-hop and the different sections and what you call elements, you can look at graffiti writing, and some of the first tags were cholo writing, what they called cholo writing, you know, and it had a certain look to it, had a certain technique to it, you know. MC-wise, Chicano rap or just Mexicans in MCing, for some reason or another, we've never had the popularity that, say, the black MCs have had. And growing up and growing older, you know, you kind of understand as to why that may be the case. But we've always had a strong presence even within our own communities.
Why do you think that's been the case?
I think that some people just never really appreciated our skills. Our skills, not just what we're saying, but how we say it. I think the fact that so many of our brothers and sisters that rap and MC, the fact that because we do speak another language, the fact that our English tone has an accent, the fact that some people's accents are stronger and harder than others, it makes it sound like we don't know what we're doing. It makes it sound like our skill level is so much less. The fact that so many of our brothers and sisters that are Chicanos never went past sixth grade. The fact that a lot of them never went past middle school. The fact that educationally we were not able to, quote unquote, as they see it, convey the messages. And that's kind of been like the viewpoint. That's kind of been like the opinion. Like, oh, well, they ain't really spitting anything that we could relate to. They study talking about the same thing. You know what I'm saying? They always talking about, you know, being on the block or riding in the car, or they're always just talking to each other, and that's about it. They're really not saying anything of substance. And that, in my opinion, I think that's been the view of our style of music.
But that changes once you leave the United States. You know, exactly. I mean, when you leave the United States, it's a whole other ball game in terms of popularity. I think I was talking with some cats and was finding out, like, you know, this, you know, the West Coast is known for independent labels, and I know here you got cats that are moving, you know, they might move at most, you know, maybe 20, 30, 40,000. But, you know, when I'm talking to cats that are, you know, MCs, and they're going down into Mexico City, you start hearing outrageous numbers, like, you know, a couple of million. So this seems like there's a whole other side of the world we not hip to. I mean, most of us, you know.
As we say, hip hop is worldwide. And I think when you try to close the door and you just try to keep blinders on to what's relevant in only your region, you automatically discount the fact that someone you probably don't even like or don't even listen to is hella popular somewhere else. And the fact that you have a lot of MCs that are Chicano rappers or Chicano MCs or just Latin rappers or Latin MCs in California, they can go outside of the country and be hella large, just be mega large. And it's the fact that they are actually spitting something that other people relate to.
Right. I remember, I think one group that comes to mind is like Sinful from the Mexicans. You know, it talks about, man, they do entire tours, you know. Yep. So, you know, multi-city tours going throughout, you know, the southern region of the, you know, this hemisphere, you know, from Mexico, Tijuana, all those places. And so I guess, you know, why do you think, you know, here in the States, we do have those blinders? Like, people know that hip-hop is worldwide, but people are very challenged when I go, well, name some people that are MCs in Mexico, and they'll look at you like, huh? You know, but that's right next door.
I think the fact that we're so selfish. I think American culture is the fact that is part of American culture is that we rely on just what we can do for ourselves and what we can get from other people. And the fact that we don't want to give credit to people outside of our area or our region or even our country. We don't even want to give credit to those folks who are doing the exact same thing and maybe doing it even better. And the fact that we want to have the credit that we want without even considering the fact that somebody else on the other side of the hemisphere or the other side of the globe, for that matter, is doing something and it has relevance.
Right. You know, let me ask you about some of the pioneers that I know, you know, at least coming from Southern Cal. Julio G, you know, Tony G, who produced, you know, Kid Frost. Of course, Kid Frost. And then, you know, then there was the Crazy 8, who, you know, a lot of people said had some influence on, or, you know, on N.W.A. because he was espousing things, you know, the street culture off the dome. And then, of course, you know, Cypress Hill and those guys. you know, how do you feel about them? And then how do you feel about the current crop of MCs? And, you know, I'm thinking more in particular like people like, you know, Sick Jackin, you know, Sick Symphonies, all these groups that, you know, of course, Immortal Technique, who's always out here on the West Coast. And, you know, for a lot of people who don't know, these groups, you know, they bring thousands of people, sell out their shows all the time. And folks are going, who the hell is Sick Symphonies? Until you go down to Southern Cali and they do a show and you're like, wow. They're like the Wu-Tang of, you know, of Latino MCs.
Well, I think to answer your question, first off and foremost, referring back to the Mixmasters, I mean, I grew up on that, you know what I'm saying, listening to the radio and just being in tune with what they were doing, you know, every Friday or every other Friday or Friday and Saturday nights, you know, so they've always had their roots in not just in hip-hop, but specifically in California's hip-hop, in Southern California's hip-hop, to be more exact. I think that giving credit to what they've laid down as foundation is so significant, because without them, we wouldn't have had, like you said, the influence on the NWA. And NWA gets so much credit for what they did, you know, in the early 90s with just blowing gangster rap out the water and making it national, making it really, really, you know, something that's viable and not just respected but dangerous and not wanting to be accepted in mainstream society, whereas today it's reversed. You know, the more gangster you are, the better you're going to be received, you know, and it's almost like this whole ideology is reversed now.
Your corporation's back in the gangster stuff.
Exactly. Anything to keep your people down, they're going to put money and invest as much money into it to keep us down, you know. And so at first, obviously, it was rebellious. They didn't want it. Now they see that there's so much potential, and if they're going to invest as much money as they possibly can to keep people down, you know, to keep people in poverty, to keep people on drugs, and glamorize gangsterism, glamorize poverty, glamorize uneducation, they're going to do that. Second part of your question, I think when you look at a lot of the Latin or Hispanic, well, I don't even refer to Hispanic because I don't even accept that term, but nationally, politically, that's what they call us. When you look at Latino and Chicano artists like myself, we don't really focus on what we are. Like, we're proud of who we are. That's who we are. But at the same time, we're not Chicano rappers. We don't really want that label put on us, as far as I'm concerned. And I think right now, this new generation of MCs, that's what it's coming down to. Like, don't put me in a box. Don't try to categorize me. Accept me for who I am and let my art show for it. You know, don't put a sticker on me and says, you know, the new album from Apocalypse, Latin rapper. Like, that's already going to have a negative
connotation.
But
they're doing that now when you go to the stores. And exactly. That's been a bad thing, huh?
In my opinion, I think that it can be a bad thing, only because of the way that historically MCs who are of Latin descent have been looked or non-accepted. And it's good that you can, you know, cross over and reach both grounds, the Latin communities and the non-Latin communities. But when the unacceptance is so high on Latin rappers and MCs as a whole, the fact that that's there, it's already a limit. It's like, it's already a strike against you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to run a race and you're already knocking me in the knee. I'm injured before I can even start the race.
Right.
You know, I think now this new generation, myself included, and I'm sure many others, we accept it. You know what I'm saying? We love being who we are, and we're going to tell you in our music, but we don't want you to necessarily, like, pinpoint us and be like, oh, well, he's Mexican, so he's going to appeal to only the Mexican crowd, because that's definitely not the case.
And before we go to a break and play another song off your album, I neglected to mention Hen G and, of course, Whippa Whip, you know, who are definitely, you know, the Prince Whippa Whip, of course, not only just pioneering, you know, in hip-hop in general, but a lot of people forget that Hen and Whippa Whip came out to L.A. early on, along with Africa Islam, and played a big, big role in the hip-hop scene and setting that off, and I don't want to put that out there and have Whip go, son,
exactly right.
How the hell are you going to forgive me? Because, you know, Prince Whippa Whip definitely laid down groundwork and was a factor out here. Well, let's talk about that when we come back. That's what we're going to talk about. We'll be right back here with Apocalypse.
My name is Michael Eric Dyson, and I listen to and love Breakdown FM, because you know why? They break it down, and it's broke, and it's down.
Breakdown FM, fresh for the new millennium. Merciless like Ming, venomous like a scorpion sting, with a tongue that's knife-like, slice the windpipe. Irony is bloodshed that lead to insight. 16 to the dome when I grab my pen tight. No method to the madness, we just march on troops. This is gasoline rap, man, we spark on loose. The gullify slang banger, leave the track black and blue. And ain't no telling what this cat from Kakalaka do. Attacking you, smacking you, anything can happen, dude. We could be here all night talking about what I can do. Try and play me on some lame, say my name, say my name. Ish. I mastered that sound on some Billy and Fiend. Ish. Picture me fitting the description of a cat spitting issue that ain't hitting. Classic acid, you must be tripping. Cause I'm a bad, bad man like Leroy Brown. I leave the track timmed up, my flow B-boy down. What?
Just take a minute now to hear me. There's only one way to be this spinning.
I mean, darn they to take that kind of a beating.
Load the clipping, let off a few rounds. We penetrate the soul with that West Coast sound. Yeah, state patrolling, raw beat controlling. Music for the movement, got the whole city rolling. Precise rhymes, cut like a razor. Independent status, got no need for a major. Ain't a player, I be the co-founder. Reach the next level while your suckers just flounder. Hold your tongue if you know your best option. Life and death, situation just watching. For signs of weakness, complete with uniqueness. Game so tight, ain't no way to defeat this. We bring that heavyweight strength to the track. Watch your chin, homie, you get dropped to the mat. On top of that, we bring the true facts. We taking steps forward while you keep falling back.
Just take a minute now to hear me. There's only one way to be this thing.
I mean, darn they to take that kind of a beating.
Coming with that ghetto raw-ish, blowing on dudes, it's like a leaky faucet. Leave the enemy limping like Mr. McAfee, for attacking me with that whack rapping team. And with a slick line, I poison bombs like strychnine. Will rappers grab up, if not, it's all mine. In the future, I only see success, and seek the best with no vest around my chest. And my dominion, make the right decisions, cause being broke is contagious. Gonna be rich with the majors. On a Learjet faded with a cell phone yelling, mama made it. Next to my girl getting her hair braided, flipping through rap magazines and still jaded. Winning at the rap game and still hated. Yo, we clowns in heat at a cruising altitude of 35,000 feet.
Just take a minute now to hear me. There's only one way to be this thing.
I mean, darn they to take that kind of a beat.
So here we are, we're back here with my man Apocalypse. You know, if we get ready to wrap up, I mentioned, you know, the influence and the contributions of people like Whipper Whip and Henji and others had done. You know, all coming in and being involved with Ice-T, you know, pioneering figure in West Coast, you know, rap. But, you know, more importantly, you had mentioned the Zulu Nation, and I wanted to, you know, you were chapter leader down here for a little while. I don't know if you still are. But talk about that connection, the importance of the Universal Zulu Nation, you being a chapter leader and having one of the more active chapters out here in the West.
Mm-hmm. Well, going, you know, tracing it back to the early 80s and late 70s, you know, I should say early 80s, mid 80s, with Rhyme Syndicate and Ice-T and, you know, a bunch of the Zulu Kings coming out to the West Coast and laying down foundations. The roots that we have between New York and California, L.A. specifically, runs very, very deep. And, you know, growing up, you know, I'm 28 now, you know what I'm saying? So I've seen a lot more than what I understood when I was 18, you know. And so one of the things that, you know, we got caught up in with the Biggie and Pac thing was that East Coast, West Coast never liked each other, you know. And they really harbored that and they really tried to stick that to us. Now that I'm older and I've talked to folks from around the country, folks like yourself, we see that that's not the case. That's not the truth. You know what I'm saying? We've always been, we've always had a relationship between each other, especially when you're looking at hip hop. you know, everything from the music, obviously the way that the dichotomy of the arts and the dance, that they had something going on, we had something going on, and it was accepted, you know. With Zulu, you know, you had folks that came out from New York, and the fact that they knew that there was a need for something, just as there was a need for them out in New York, they said, you know what, let's lay down the foundation. Ice-T was just that figurehead. He was that one individual that was able to get out and people gravitated to, you know, and he put Zulu out there. Islam put Zulu out there. You know, when you look at one of the biggest movies ever made, Colors, you know, who's on the soundtrack? Who's the main song on the soundtrack, you know? And so when you look at how much history that we have, not just Zulu Nation, but the fact that California's hip-hop scene has always been there pretty much since day one, you know, and so it's very important that folks understand that. You know, going back to what you mentioned about the San Jose chapter, Gateway chapter, we're still here, you know, and we're focusing, we've always been focused on what we can do for the San Jose community, not just the hip-hop scene, but the community as a whole, you know, and so, you know, we haven't really focused so much on hip-hop. Now we're looking at how can we help folks out. You know, one of the biggest problems that we've seen in our city is the fact that we have a large homeless problem that isn't being necessarily addressed in a way that could be. You know, shelters come and go. Folks come and go into the shelters. You know, the big problem with homeless is the fact that it's an eyesore to people who come into the city. So the city and PD have done what they've done and moved people out. However, there's still people that are out there on a cold night that need things. And so one of the things that we've tried to do recently over the last couple months is, you know, help those people out. You know, so we're trying to do things one at a time. You know, we're not as active as we were, say, a year ago or even 2 years ago when really we were putting it down out here.
But here in San Jose, you also have, you know, a number of hip-hop organizations, and they've always been here, you know, going from all the way back with Aiko, and, you know, she's a pioneering female dancer out here and the stuff she was doing. You know, getting the city of San Jose to sponsor and be a part of these large B-boy and B-girl concerts and things that were going on down here. What was it, at the Henry...
the Hank Lopez.
Yeah, Hank Lopez Center. Then you have, of course, you know, groups like Hip Hop Congress, you know, Metra, I mean, Moxa, what is it?
We had Makla.
Makla,
you know,
yeah.
You have, and now D-Bug, you know, D-Bug has grown so much that you know when something's going down if D-Bug's involved in it, you know. The fact that they put out a newsletter every couple months is huge because that's really our voice from the streets, you know, and it's giving back to the streets, you know. So you had Aiko, you got the Funk Labs, you got the Lyrical Disciplines, you got the Zulu Nation, you got Zulu Kings, you got D-Bug, you got Hip Hop Congress, you have a new organization that's been developed over the last year called Maiz. And they reach out primarily to the migrant Latin community, the Mexican community.
Now, one of the things I like about the way that you all organizations have, and I've been to these unity meetings that you used to have, was that it's more than just hip-hop. It's bigger than hip-hop. And so with all these groups, are you all, it seems like you all intersect and work and, you know, and build with one another.
It has to be that way. Like I said, I've been in San Jose since 2000, and I pretty much just acculturated myself to the point where it's my new home, and if I'm gonna be here, then I'm gonna help the cause. I'm gonna help someone grow. I'm not gonna just try to grow myself. I'm gonna help somebody else grow along with me. And so it's been very important that we've all just come together. Unfortunately, you know, we're at a situation where right now the city is trying to lock down. San Jose PD is trying to lock down, and they're really trying to zone off a whole bunch of our activity. And unfortunately, we have some things on the table that may really, really hurt us in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, for people who don't know, what are they trying to do? They're trying to charge promoters a licensing fee and artists like some sort of fee to perform and all kind of crazy stuff. Yeah. Get ready, folks. It's coming to your town. Coming, you know, remember, if it goes down here, so does it go the rest of the country. So they're trying to, you know, under the guise of safety, you know, check out promoters. So if you want to do a thing, you got to go through this whole ritual, and the artists that you got on your bill got to be checked out. Yes, this is what's going on in 2008.
Police state. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about $500 for a promoter's membership, a promoter's license. And that doesn't even have to be a quote-unquote promoter. Like, you don't even have to be in the business of throwing parties. You could be an MC like myself, and I just want to promote a show that I'm performing at. I gotta get a promoter's license. You know what I'm saying? I could be fined. I could be pretty much just banned from promoting and performing anywhere in the city. You know what I'm saying? And so that's really going to be a hindrance, not only on hip hop, but just the city's culture as a whole.
So in other words, if you are passing out flyers and your name is on there, they'll see you as a promoter.
Exactly.
And therefore, your name's on the fly. You got to pay for this.
Exactly.
So people can't take advantage of the fact that you have honed your skills, got a lot of popularity, and you want to put your name on the flyer to attract people to an event. Wow. And this is just, you know, so what if you're running for office? Does that apply for you then? It's just a music thing?
Right now, it's looked at as just an entertainment thing. But you bring it up, and you know, you bring up a very interesting thing, because it's just right now at its inception, it's just entertainment. If you're trying to run for political office, you run a very good point. But the fact is, you're an employee of the city, and the way that the draft is worded right now, if you are an employee of the city, you're exempt.
Wow. So, you know, we're going to have to keep abreast of that. I know we're going to be talking with the guys from Hip Hop Congress, you know, pretty soon, and they're going to give us a more detailed breakdown, because apparently they're doing that, something similar in San Francisco and something similar in Oakland. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We've been talking with Apocalypse. Any last words and comments? How can people get a hold of you?
You can hit me up at myspace.com/apocalypse1, APAKALIPS with the number 1.
Wait, spell that again slowly. All right, get your pens and papers out, folks.
MySpace.com/apocalypse1, APAKALIPS, the number 1 behind it. You could also hit me at IREK79@yahoo.com. Just send me an email, you know, whatever. I'm up for booking for shows. I'm trying to get out of the Bay Area, specifically San Jose. I'm trying to branch out. I'm trying to get stuff going down in Southern California. I want to shout out Zulu Nation, Zulu Kings, Lyrical Discipline. I want to shout out the folks that contributed to my album, the artist Scape One, who helped design the cover, my man.
Pioneering graph writer. Yep. People forget about him. Part of the mighty crew, Red, Black, and Green, mm-hmm. yep. which a lot of people yep. forget. And you talk about pioneering Latino MCs, yeah, exactly. MC Styles, Mookies. Yeah, they was repping pretty hard. Julio, all kind of folks. Yeah, yeah.
Julio, yes, G, exactly. Yeah. You know, we had many conversations about that when we were working with this album. So big ups to him, because you know he had a lot of patience, and he really helped me out with putting the album together as far as the package is concerned. You know, so shouts out to him. Shouts out to my man Mid One for the photography. Shouts out to my man Peak, Overflow, my man the Maestro, Funkmaster Phil, and Mouth for the production. Shouts out to my fiance for having the support and the patience of 2 years of helping me out. And so just big shouts out to my family, my man Davey D, for being so supportive over the last several years that I've known him. And shouts out to San Jose's hip-hop scene, everybody involved. It's too hard to name names, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just going to throw a blanket over there and just cover you all. So shouts out to everybody that's always been there for us.
We out for now, folks. Peace.
Yes, y'all. Apocalypse in Mouth once again. Get your mind right. Through blood and sweat, the tears of mom's wept, the drive to push on to make sure ends were met. Countless hours awake through the night, working double time with minimal rest. Cause see, the struggle of life never takes breaks, and success can't be measured by whatever it takes. Shifty acts done by shady snakes, and once reliable friends turn at high stakes. This is the code once your life unfolds. It all depends on how you can manage and grab a hold of nature's reins after your grip turns cold. As empty promises is what the government sold, and hope in constant prayer which the church tried to mold. So in God we trust is what we're all told. But who are we to trust when they bind our souls, and faith is placed in silver, platinum, and gold? Some say life's that one you never should have dated, while others claim that life's just what you make it. And many others in this world just don't know, always making mistakes, but from them they never grow. Some say life's that one you never should have dated, while others claim that life's just what you make it. And many others in this world just don't know, always making
making mistakes which from then they never grow. True, some choices can lead to dark paths, but other roads have been forced to walk by dealt hands to the less fortunate and misguided. Pain and suffering, some have learned how to hide it, and some of us have learned to deal with the stress. We're walking through a day, it's just like a game of chess, as each blurry face looks more like the rest. Or with one wrong move, you could get popped in the chest. You got the cops and the thugs on the blocks. You got China White and you got Crook Rocks. And Mary Jane just don't give a damn no more. How many times in a day you hit the liquor store, where paychecks are spent like Las Vegas nights, and the working man's life gets lost in them lights. The heat from the street can cause an ill mirage, making us believe it's ours to take regardless of the cause. Some say life's that one you never should have dated, while others claim that life's just what you make it. And many others in this world just don't know, always making mistakes which from them they never grow. Some say life's that one you never should have dated, while others claim that life's just what you make it. And many others in this world just don't know, always making mistakes which from them they never grow. You got families fighting each and every day, living in hell holes, their world's in complete disarray. Suburban kids trying to act like the biggest thugs, pushing angel dust in their Cadillac trucks, taking weapons to school for mass destruction, while single mothers in the hood are dying from mass consumption. With high stress levels mixed with low income, some places stay dark cause the end soon come. Students of color ain't learning jack, they beat us up for too long, so now it's time to fight back. Whether your skin is brown or any shade of black, you walking around with a big old target on your back. Cause police violence exists from here to Brooklyn, our whole government's got a big plan cooking. The signs are out there, we just gotta overstand. They say the devil's in the details, so we need to start looking. Some say life's that one you never should have dated, while others claim that life's just what you make it. And many others in this world just don't know, always making mistakes which from them they never grow. Some say life's that one you never should have dated, while others claim that life's just what you make it. And many others in this world just don't know, always making mistakes which from them they never grow.
Yeah, this is Apocalypse representing San Jose. You got me now on Breakdown FM.
Yeah! Breakdown FM. Breakdown FM.
Breakdown.
Your number one source for hip-hop and politics. Breakdown FM.
Can't nobody else do what we do.